The book of Joshua today again, we're turning to the third chapter, to this marvelous history of Israel crossing the Red Sea. And it's a history of great lessons. And I can't emphasize enough that this is not just a history book. This is a teaching book. And these miracles that happened in real time, in real places, that they are recorded, and indeed they were providentially ordained that they would become pictures to help the Christian in every generation, even in this 21st century, to live the Christian life. And so what we learn here about Joshua, about his faith, about his commands to the people, and the miracle of God drying up the Jordan, enabling Israel to cross on dry ground, to enter into the Canaan land. That has great symbols and lessons for what God will do for you and me, even today in our lives. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. It's never just history. It's His story. And it's a story of what God can do for us when we learn to trust Him and learn to live for Him. So take this to heart today as we come to Joshua 3, verse 1. Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore."
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and I hope that you have picked up on our Bible reading in Joshua chapter 2 that we're going to be preaching today on sanctification, the need to set ourselves and prepare ourselves for the service of the Lord. So many Christians fret and worry about what will be on the morrow whenever we are not doing what we ought to do today, which is to set our hearts on His Word and sanctify ourselves. For the Lord has promised that tomorrow He will lead us over. He will be with us. So, I trust that you will stay with us as we move now to our pulpit ministry to let the Bible speak.
This time in your precious Word, Lord, we love the Scriptures. We believe that you have written them for us. You have given us this Word to reveal your name, your glory, your purposes, your mercies to us. And we ask today that thou wilt dig ears, that we may hear with the hearing of faith. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we pray that it will please thee to give the Holy Spirit to preacher and to each hearer, and that we will know the Lord's power, the Lord's help, in searching the Scriptures together. O God, give me words from Thyself, and grant, Lord, that You will work through Your Word today. We plead mercy and help from heaven in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. We're coming back to Joshua 3 again. Joshua chapter 3. And to cut to the chase, we're going to go to verse 5, where it says, Joshua commanded the people, sanctify yourselves. Joshua 3, verse 5, sanctify yourselves. If I may say that again, because that's really the theme of the whole passage. Sanctify yourselves. I choose these words because it does indeed cut to the chase of the purpose and the meaning of this history. The children of Israel were about to cross over the River Jordan, which normally is no big deal, but at harvest time, when the snowpack is melting on Mount Lebanon, the river widens tremendously. And to lead a population of over 1 million, up to 2 million people across that river was a very big event. Now, it took only one night for the Israelites to come out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the people. We learn from this that the world is very powerful, and the world clings to God's children. After you are converted, after you profess faith in the Lord Jesus, the world still cries, serve me, walk in my ways. The way of Christ is narrow. The way of the world is broad. It's so much easier. And unfortunately, many people straddle the way of the world and the way of the walk of faith. As these people were looking forward to entering the life in the land of Canaan, Canaan life was to be about freedom. Freedom to serve God. Freedom to have victory over their enemies. The Lord had promised, I've given you the land. I will drive out the people. And so the Israelites were looking forward to entering and to conquering. Now they were given promises, but they had to claim those promises. They had to fight for those promises to be fulfilled. And of course, this is a picture for us. Every spiritual blessing which the Lord Jesus paid for at the cross, every blessing that he acquired through his death, through his blood, is promised to you by faith, but you must fight for it. Now, that's not salvation. Salvation is the atoning work of Christ applied by faith alone. Faith alone. But this sanctification, it's different. Sanctification, or victory in the Christian life, it has to be fought for. You have to take the sword and conquer in the Lord's power and in the Lord's strength. I came across the story this week of Francis Havergal, the English gospel writer and soloist. And she wrote the hymn, which we're going to sing at the end of the service, Take My Life and Let It Be. Somewhere in her early Christian life, she read a book, All for Jesus. And she learned that if you're going to have blessing, there needs to be full surrender of life. And she learned that, and she exercised that, and she ended up writing that hymn as a result of it. Now, because she was a tremendous singer, her voice was in great demand in many worldly circles. But in that hymn, she wrote, Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. And she dedicated and consecrated her life that she would only sing for the Lord and no longer sing for the world. She also had acquired a great deal of jewelry, and she gave that up and she consigned it to a missionary society for their use and benefit. And then she wrote in that hymn, Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. We are all called to give up the things of this world for total dedication to Christ and his kingdom. You might ask, why? Why did Frances Havergal need to make that consecration that she would only sing the messages of the Lord and not entertain the world? Why did she feel that she needed to dedicate her precious jewelry to the missionary society? Why does Joshua say here in Joshua 3 verse 5, sanctify yourselves? And here in this historic incident, this which is of great significance in the life of Israel and of many lessons to the Christian, why is there this call to sanctify yourselves before the children of Israel would cross that Jordan? Why did Joshua command them, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you? I want today to explain the term sanctify. I want also to show you the expectation when we are sanctified, and then the application of sanctify. Three angles on the same command, sanctify yourselves. Firstly, the explanation. Now, firstly, let me notice that, what did I say, two firstlies there? My counting is in sub-points here. First major issue, the explanation. Under that, first thing to note is this is something the people were to do for themselves. Sanctify yourselves. This is something that God's not going to do for them. They're not just to let go and let God. They were to do this for themselves. Now, on the night 40 years before, when Israel crossed the Red Sea, God opened the sea and led them across. That was something that God did. And that's a picture of our salvation, redemption. And they sang the song of Moses and of the Lord because the Lord led them across. It was his miracle. But now they are standing at the River Jordan, and the picture is of the Christian entering in to claim their possessions. And here's something that we must do, firstly. And we are to do it, not just to be passively waiting for God to do something. Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. Now, the meaning of sanctify simply means set apart. That's all it means. Something that is set apart. On the days of creation, God set apart the seventh day. He sanctified it. He made it a day apart from all the others. In Exodus 13, when God delivered Israel from Egypt, when all the firstborn of Egypt were slain, the firstborn of Israel were redeemed. They were chosen. Indeed, God made the nation of Israel to be his firstborn people. The church, we are the church of the firstborn, peculiar, set apart unto God. That's what a Christian is. That's what is someone who is been to the cross and been washed in the blood of Jesus, has pleaded mercy and asked for new life in Christ. You are set apart. Sanctify yourselves. And then I want you to turn with me to Exodus 19. Here is the chapter just before the giving of the Ten Commandments. And here is a command given again to sanctify yourselves. Exodus 19, verse 5. Who's got it? Boys and girls, remember the sword drill? We're looking for Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 19, and verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, ye shall be a peculiar treasure. Peculiar, special, set apart unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And then down in verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now the Israelites were well informed on ceremonial washings and cleansing, and how they would prepare themselves to go into the presence of God. They were to set themselves apart. You know, the New Testament Christian is to do exactly the same. Let's turn again in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. So we're going to go to Ephesians, then Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then. Now, let me let you into a little secret. When you come upon in the New Testament the word if, many times it means since. It doesn't put a question mark on did you. It means since you are. If ye then be risen. Since ye then are risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. What does mortify mean? To put to death. Set apart. You are to be a peculiar people. A different people. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. And we are to, well, that's 5:17, 6:17. Okay, there's the command. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So there's sanctify yourselves, come apart, wash, cleanse. If ye be risen, seek those things which are above. And we're also commanded to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And so there is nothing new, nothing fanciful, nothing dramatic about being sanctified. It means to be separate and to be apart from the ways of the world. And God's people should be ready and waiting for God to come and do his will in our hearts. Sanctify is preparation. Sanctify is cleansing. Sanctify is waiting for God to work. And that leads me now to the expectation of sanctified. Look at verse 5 here in Joshua 3, verse 5. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And they were given the whole account of how things would happen. Verse 8 right through to verse 13, there was, a prophecy. There was a full instruction on how things are going to happen. And they were to sanctify themselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. For the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. And he goes on to tell them how the waters will open, the priests will stand in the river, and the people will pass over. And so, a sanctified people expect the Lord to work mighty things in their midst. And they are willing to give up the old life for the new. They're to cross over the Jordan, which was, of course, the symbol, the way of death. Now, some take this as a type of the Christian entering into heaven. And I'm not going to have any big dispute with someone who does that. There are times when it might be fitting in its context. But more strictly, this crossing the Jordan is the picture of God's people going from the life of the flesh in the wilderness into the life of victory and conquering into the land of Canaan. And Jordan is therefore the picture of death, of dying to self, sanctify ourselves, and rising in the newness of life. Consistently in the Bible, those who are identified with Jordan, well, they are often identified also with death. Elijah, for example, and I need to take you to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8, and you will see here that Elijah also divided the waters of Jordan. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's just read the text. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Here's another miracle of crossing the Jordan on dry ground. And it preceded the death, or should we say the rapture of Elijah, because immediately, Elijah is taken up into heaven, and it says in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And so Elijah is going to be taken up to heaven. He's crossing over the Jordan, and it's going to be a new life of service transferring to Elisha. So we see the picture. And then, of course, in Jordan, the Lord Jesus had his baptism. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Matthew 3, where the Lord, under John the Baptist, went down into Jordan, was baptized, and when he came out of the waters, the Holy Spirit descended, and he began his earthly ministry from that day forward, preaching the gospel. And so Jordan is the end of the old life and the beginning of a new life of service. And I want that for you. That's my burden today as we come to Joshua 3. That you would not live on and on a wilderness life, but that you would live in victory. That you would gain ground. That you would possess the possessions which are yours in Christ Jesus. Now, these sanctified people, they expected God to lead them over the Jordan. And they were told to prepare their stuff, prepare their families. And it meant to believe in God to lead them over the Jordan, which was fast flowing. It was wide. It was difficult to pass, especially for such a multitude of people. And it meant resignation to what God was going to do on their behalf. That's what sanctification is. That's what it is to sanctify yourself. Wait on God to go before you, to open up the way, and to work His will. You'll see in verse 4 that the verse goes on to say that you are to, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now that is where heartfelt faith comes in. God leading you in a new direction. And this is future. It says tomorrow. So today, sanctify yourselves. Wash, prepare, cleanse, seek God, trust in Him. Tomorrow, you are going away that you've never gone before, and the Lord will go before you. And all of this was marvelously fulfilled. And this is for our learning. Because when you travel the Christian life, tomorrow is a way that you've never gone before. And many of God's people in many situations find that they are in new territory on a different pathway. And God leads you and calls you to go through a new phase of life, a way that you've never gone before. It might be moving home. And with all of that, it's going to involve many, many decisions. New church, new friends, new opportunities, giving up and cutting off old things. And for that, you need to sanctify yourself. You need to trust how the Lord is going to lead you. For some, it might be marriage, and you haven't gone that way before, and it's going to mean a whole change in life. Or a new job. You've got an opportunity, and it's providential, staring you in the face, that this is God's will for you. And very often, God does that. The thing that He provides, you may never even have expected, but it's so obviously right. It's like God's command, go over, and you must do it.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.